Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug's finding out. Doug Whaley with us here now. Jason Mackey's been with us all show. He'll continue to be with us until the end of the program. I used to produce, but I don't know how to work things technically anymore. It's like it just fell completely out of my head.
You're doing better than Doug or I would do. I can guarantee you that.
No, there's a cheat sheet here. You got all you need to do is look at it. You'd be better at it than I am.
Oh, wow. It's like an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, dude.
Do you cover your mouth when you read it?
I do. I feel like Rich Rodriguez over here. Too soon?
Nah, I give it to you. I mean, I look at it this way. This is why I'm glad, one, that they're extending the deal.
Yes.
What is it, 32?
So it'll go now from, what, 29 through, like, 36?
36.
Which we're getting old, Doug.
Yes. But even being on the wrong side of it, that is the epitome of what a rivalry game is. You throw out the records, you throw out what they did last week, and you got to step up and make plays in the end. And I give it to you. You guys stepped up and made plays. It was great to see the seesaw effect where you guys took it early, took control. Pitt regained it, took control. And then at the end, West Virginia did it. So, hey, in the end, tip my cap. Congrats.
It was all me. It was me out
you
there.
Sitting in the stands and everything.
I let him right down the field. It was me and Nico Markiel. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You got any questions for Doug, you can tweet them. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I want to reference a tweet from Mark Caboli as our jumping off point. There's so many different Steelers things to get into here, Doug, but I think Mark was listening to our show, and we love Mark. He wrote, "It's not hard to figure out what's wrong with TJ Watt. He needs his defensive staff to help him out a little and gasp. He needs to not be so easily located within the defensive formation." I think two things can be true at once. I think, number one, they could probably move him around a little bit.
Right.
But number two, he's lined up in the same place his entire career, and he was lining up at that spot when he had 20 and a half sacks.
Yes.
And had one of the great seasons in the history of defensive football.
And I'll also add, if you are to whom much is given, much is expected. To be $41 million, the second highest non-quarterback, you can be out there alone, and you still need to be disruptive. He may not have the sacks production because they are double, triple team him, but he's got to be disruptive. And then you add to the fact that opens it up for your other teammates. So Cam Hayward, go out and earn your incentives, because if they're double teaming and triple teaming TJ, then you have to be single blocked. And if you're getting double teaming, if you're double teaming TJ and Cam, then the rest of the defense needs to step up. So be it scheme, whatever, production, it doesn't matter. When you're the highest paid defense for the second, maybe third year in a row, I don't want to hear excuses. I want production.
That's what we were saying, Doug, that a couple things here can be true. Yeah. Like, it's okay to want more from TJ Watt. People are not wrong. You also need to acknowledge that, yeah, he is gobbling up blockers, and other guys are not winning one-on-one battles at the rate that they should. That should also be criticized. I think it's also fair to criticize the defense, saying you're spending a lot of money on defense and we're not getting a return on investment here.
No doubt. And then you can also criticize the coaching staff. So, okay, this is the second game in a row where the same issues are happening. After a while, and I say it all the time, on a Tuesday, if this happens in New England, I would beg somebody to say, "Coach, you talk about doing things differently and making changes and we have to improve because it's a results-based business. Well, the results are the same, so you're either coaching it or allowing it. Which is it? That's it.
Yeah.
Drop the mic after that. And then let me see him wordsmith out of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not two is a trend, right?
Yes.
That's what he said.
That was his own words.
Right. And this and we have a trend now.
Yep.
So if we see the same thing in New England, then you have to ask the question. You have to hold him accountable. And that's why I loved when he came out and said, this will be a historical defense. Guess what? Not only the local, but the national media with that soundbite is going to have to ask him hard questions and not have him wordsmith out of it and hold him accountable because he is the man. And that's what he said. I get paid a lot of money for this. Okay, all right. Well, answer this question or fix this issue.
He's only ever accountable, though, by people behind microphones, people who like Jason, in the inches that they write in their column, because he can say whatever he wants about how the defense is going to be historic and they're going to do great things, this, that, the other. If they don't, he knows he's not going anywhere.
Well, we all know that, but it starts to put shine on some of the deficiencies in his team.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was all the deficiencies were overcome by Mike Tomlin. Now it's like, well, wait a minute, Mike Tomlin, you might be a part of some of the deficiencies if you're not recognizing what you guys are doing isn't working and having the foresight to change on a moving train.
There's nowhere to run and hide when this baby that he's given birth to, I guess here, I get stuck in my own analogy,
right.
His defense has performed as badly as it has through 2 weeks. And Doug, it's not just 2 weeks, it's the last 10.
Exactly. I mean, it's been a steady decline. So after a while, it's like, okay, we got to start looking at the top. We've looked at the players. You've added a bunch of new players. You've paid a bunch of players that are supposedly the stalwarts of this team. The only thing, all of this has been consistent. So what about the scheme? And what about putting people in the right position? And this will go into something I wanted to get into, but I'll let you keep leading.
No, go right ahead, because I'll ask this question, and you let me know. We keep hearing about miscommunication, and we heard about it last year, and we heard about it the year before.
Coaching it or allowing it?
Well, it's defense in the NFL. You got a defense chock full of veterans. Are they running the most complicated defense in the history of the sport?
Again, then that's bad coaching.
Yes,
if you have this such talented defense, then you go out there and say, okay, we're going to run two coverages and we're not going to beat ourselves, but our guys are better than your guys. You're not going to beat us. Go back to Penn State days. They didn't run anything complicated, but they ran it to perfection and they never beat themselves. You never heard about communication issues. And I'm a Pitt fan, but I respected what they did. And if you're showing me and telling me, and it keeps coming to fruition that our communication sucks, then you as a coach have to fix that and eliminate the confusion and right. Say there's one check or there's no check. We're playing cover zero and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the ball. We're playing cover two. Go get the ball. Everybody's like, well, you got to check this. Well, you can check it and then you're going to be out of position and give up big plays. So what's the good of a check if no one can get it or you can't communicate it?
Or you've brought in the wrong guys, Doug.
True.
And that's another thing with this offseason that it resonates me. We were talking about this earlier. I mean, Mike Tomlin's made some moves that very clearly, in my opinion, like he's sticking himself out there, open himself up for criticism.
Which I have no problem.
Yeah, no,
I respect that.
I do too. And if it goes well, he should be praised for it. If it goes poorly, he should be criticized for it. But I mean, it's not just that either. Like, this is not the first instance that we've seen communication issues. Are you bringing in players who do not communicate well with one another? Is there a consistent theme? Is it your defensive coordinator? Is it your messaging? Is it how you were teaching this? Are you not spending enough time throughout your day teaching it? Are you teaching it in the wrong capacity? Like, there are all kinds of questions that we can open up here and drill into the process, but there's a flaw here.
Yeah. And this is a perfect segue into what I was saying and what I was going to say. And I brought it up. And I didn't really hammer it as much as I wanted to because everybody was over the moon about Jalen Ramsey. But I told you, do not put that guy in the slot. His game is predicated on physicality at the line of scrimmage and ability to use his length by getting his hands on players and being in that throwing lane with his length. He's going to make plays, which he did. But when you put him one-on-one in the slot and give a player a two-way go in space, you are putting him at a disadvantage. And I think he gave up like over 100 yards covering from the slot. Here's what I'm saying. In my opinion, if you want to make a foundational decision for getting a young player development on the right track, Jalen Ramsey, guess what? You are one of the top cover corners, press cover corners, in the era that you've played. We're going to put you on number one receiver for the rest of the year. JPJ, you be a student of him, and you learn how to be that number one lockdown corner. So guess what that does? Gives you a lockdown corner now, and it gives you one in waiting. And then you can do your rest of your defense off of that. They're not doing that. Let's move them here, there, there. That's that coaching. Like, oh, yeah. I'm going to outsmart the team. And it's backfiring. So just line up and play. You have these dogs that you believe are dogs. Put them in position just to do what they do and stop making it about your defense. Stop trying to be right and get it right.
The Steelers were one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL last season, statistically. And yet we were told that they were playing Minkah Fitzpatrick as far off the ball as they were so that he could keep a lid on it. So he wasn't making plays, and they were still bleeding yards through the air. Now they have Jalen Ramsey, and they're trying to make him a jack of all trades, and he's at this point been a master of none. I thought Cooper Kupp in the first game against the 49ers looked beyond washed. He did not look good at all. He cooked in the middle of the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But if you think about it, Adam, what Doug is saying, it's the same strand of logic in both of those. Like the usage of Minkah Fitzpatrick and what they're doing with Jalen Ramsey. What you're doing is preserving the present. You're trying to save face. You're trying to, this is our best available product right now. Might not be perfect, but like this is what I know, so this is what we're going to do. But you don't have somebody challenging your thinking, maybe a heavyweight defensive coordinator or whatever, that thinks maybe a couple years out, how are we going to best position this defense now and into the future? It's a different line of thinking. Yeah. You're basically saving your you-know-what versus creating a lasting scheme that people are going to play into and then evolve with.
And that's where sometimes you'll get that little rub between personnel and coaching, because coaching is all focused on today. And personnel, I'd be like, hey, coach, we need to set up a foundation. Just look at our lack of player development. Here's an easy way. Here's a layup how we can develop a corner at one of the most important positions in football now, besides quarterback, is somebody that's either going to get after the quarterback or stop what the quarterback is trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's a corner. To have a number one shutdown corner, if we believe in this guy, let's give him a pathway to be successful. And right now, there is nobody he can look up and say, I need to idolize myself like him. No one in the secondary. Now, if you put Jalen Ramsey in that position, then he can say, I'm going to mimic that guy because he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. I need to be that.
And I would think you're killing multiple birds with the one stone, Doug, because now Jalen Ramsey's not having different assignments on every play.
And maybe that helps with the communication.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just
you get that guy same space at all times.
What do you call that? Cat defense? Cat coverage. You got that, cat.
That's it.
I like
Whaley words of wisdom. Much more on the personnel usage on the defensive side with Doug Whaley when we come back. A segment brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. And as always, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Weird.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Musings off the air, wondering if Dr. James Andrews or Tommy John gets royalties for every time a pitcher needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because the philosophy, and we were talking about this off air, I had a friend that his son was getting highly recruited out of high school, and I was like, give me the difference, because he's a football coach. It did football and baseball recruiting, blah, 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 and he was going through a litany list of differences. But he said the one thing is young pitchers now do not worry about, or coaches or managers, them throwing their arm out, because if they get Tommy John, they're going to come back throwing strong.
Yeah.
And then that dove into, I wonder if Tommy John gets royalties for every surgery. And then you're like, oh, what about Dr. Andrews?
I mean, I would hope those guys exactly are making a little something here.
I think that's a blessing and a curse, Doug, being able to throw hard and saying you're going to get Tommy John and come back from it. Like, even when I was younger, and I know when you were younger as well, like, there was an art to pitching. You weren't max effort all the time on fastballs, breaking stuff. Like, you almost were somewhat cognizant of, like, my elbow at some point is going to give out. Now it is just, screw that. I'm throwing this thing as hard as I can.
And spin rate.
I'd kind of like to see pitchers be a little bit more aware of that stuff, but I know that's never going
to
happen.
Do you think we'll ever get to another, like, Tommy Maddox, a guy that can just...
No.
High, low 80s,
sadly,
but
no.
Can paint the corner. And it's just because
I don't think they're getting looked at. If we exactly want to talk about it in a recruiting frame, like I think exactly people are going to be quick to dismiss and be like, he's only throwing 89. But he knows how to pitch.
He knows
how like to Kyle pitch. Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's a
few and far between.
Yeah. Like you have to really, really show people.
Rich Hill.
Pitch.
And then flip it offensively. If you got a guy that can hit for average.
Right. Luis Urias.
Yeah, those guys aren't going to be looked at as the guys that can take it long. I mean, it's just where the game is going now, just like in football. It's a space game now.
Well, yeah, it sure is, and that's why the Steelers linebackers right now are Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen, lighter in the seat, but should be able to go sideline to sideline. Here's a stat. Opponent rushing yards versus the Steelers this year. 34 attempts away from T.J. Watt. They're averaging 6 yards a carry. Towards Watt, it's only been 13 carries, 2.5 yards per tote. I'd like to see Cole Holcomb take Peyton Wilson's place this week. And I don't know that he's fully the solution, because he wasn't there last year because he was banged up. But I'd like to see what that looks like and Peyton Wilson be more of the coverage linebacker.
I mean, I haven't studied the film, but watching the game, Peyton Wilson should be a hugger at Children's Hospital. Because that's how he takes on block. There was one where as a fullback, he obliterated him. He's probably, his sternum is real sore right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not his game. I'll give it to him, and that's fine. He's a cover athletic linebacker. His game is not predicated on coming downhill and stuffing the run. Again, though, put your players in position to be successful. And if they thought this guy could be stout against the run, that's where these issues are starting to come up. The eyes of the coaches and what they're scheming to benefit the player's ability, it's just not matching right now.
And that's what Keanu Benton shouldn't be the nose either.
Shouldn't be the nose. And let me jump. It keeps showing me they want to be right instead of get right.
I'm looking at those clips you were referencing, Doug, the Peyton Wilson clips. Yeah. I saw the fullback twofer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? Maybe that's what you're referencing, but
that was the one I was referencing.
There's a lot.
I don't know.
Well, so there's a few to choose from. It's concerning.
The answer is both, but what's worse, him getting absolutely eviscerated by the fullback or the third and 19? So third and goal from the 19.
He's turned around.
I mean, what the hell?
If you just saw that clip, you'd be like, okay, they want them to score so they can get the ball back and try to score.
Right?
That's what you would have thought.
Kenneth Walker after the game was basically like, they didn't even touch me.
I'm like, wait, what?
And they didn't.
Huh?
Just unforgivable in that circumstance. And Mike Tomlin says two is a pattern. Okay. I'm not sure why Black's the solution on the nose, but give that a shot this game and get Cole Holcomb in there. Cole Holcomb, his biggest skill set has always been speed, but I do think his veteran savvy allows him to back downhill more than what we've seen out of Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson is a passive, I'm going to wait for the play to develop linebacker. And I've seen way too much of that out of Patrick Queen, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, man. I'm watching this, the third and 19 run again. Like, if you want the angle that he takes
terrible
here,
angle.
It is not a sit back and wait. You'd almost prefer to sit back and wait. Like, he charges upfield and at the running back almost like he's unaware that the running back's going to continue running forward.
Right, correct.
It's sort of mystifying that he thought this was the right angle to take. Here, I'm not going to try to be an NFL inside linebacker, but like, you know, when somebody's running in the direct, but like, they're not there. They're somewhere else.
Now maybe we're starting to see why he was still around in the third round. Obviously, there was those injury concerns, but is he an athletic linebacker that lacks instincts?
And I'm not going to
cover.
I'm not going to totally give up on the guy, but through two games, it's been bad with a capital bad.
So here's where I struggle sometimes with coach, lack of consistency. Caleb Johnson makes a mistake.
Great point.
And he gets taken off as a kickoff returner. Peyton Wilson is getting eviscerated physically, but you're going to keep him in there.
Just
give me consistency. That's all I'm saying.
You know why? It's because it was such a blatant mistake. You can't explain around it. Whereas your average guy ain't going to be sitting there going, oh, Peyton Wilson, we got very smart football fans in this town. But it's a little bit different to me than guy who makes an error that hadn't been made in 45 years.
I'm not talking about fans or even the media. I'm talking about other coaches and offensive coordinators from other teams. That's what I'm talking about, and having a standard and being consistent there. Oh, well, he made a mistake, a rookie mistake. Should he have? No, absolutely not. Again, that goes back to coaching or allowing it. All right, everybody makes a mistake. That was one. You've had two games of this guy showing you this is not his skill set. Don't put me there. But you'll keep him in there. That is where I struggle a lot with coach.
Well, and Doug's also talking about having some sort of punitive damages for what somebody does, right?
Or ability.
Yeah, and you want to use somebody to the best of their ability. Peyton Wilson is not the best available option for run stopping right now. And why you're pretending that he is, I don't know. Now, maybe that's Cole Holcomb. I don't know. We were talking earlier about a Landon Roberts and wishing they would have kept him. Obviously, they can't just, you know, bring him back with the snap of a finger. But I mean, you're continuing to do something. It doesn't make sense when it's not working and you're like, I don't know, selecting to not see the results. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like selective hearing. Yes. I didn't hear that. No, never happened.
Or unless you're telling me that he's the best option.
He's not. He can't be.
Then give me a reason why
you're still doing it.
If you're saying he's the best option, then guess what? You need to go start looking for those linebackers.
Well, and they are. They signed one yesterday who's a thumper formerly in New England who 2 years ago had a really, really good season, which I think is them acknowledging, at least in some way, shape, or form, we're not good enough at the position. But, hey, even if they don't think Cole Holcomb's the answer, can you not? He can't play him a few snaps. He played zero snaps game one. I have to go back and look if he played any in game two. I want to talk to you about the kickoff return and the philosophy there. Because Mike Tomlin has, over the course of the last 10 years, he has played very few dynamic people at that position. And now it seems like it's as important as it's been in a very long time. We'll get into that and more when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get into Mike Tomlin's kickoff return philosophy in a couple of minutes. I don't know if you guys saw this or chuckled the way that I did when I saw it, but Pro Football Focus famously gave Aaron Rodgers a 54 grade in week one, which ranked him the 26th best quarterback in the NFL. This last Sunday, they actually graded him higher at 62.5. Broderick Jones, meanwhile, was terrible week one, and he was graded a 54. I don't think he was good this week, but I thought he was better, and he was graded a 45. So I can't make heads or tails of it, Doug.
The way I've always viewed statistics and websites like PFF is if the numbers coincide in what you see and what you're thinking, great. If they differ, then just go back and check. Because I've always said you cannot, and especially in this sport, it's a team sport, and until they come up with a numerical value for heart, toughness, want, it's hard to be analytically driven with your decision-making in a team sport like football. Now, you can be analytically informed, but don't have the analytics drive every decision. And that's why I say PFF, there's going to be some flaws, and you have to study the stats. And that's one of those things where even though they have ex-coaches, ex-players doing the work, there's still some guesstimation on that, and they're just throwing it out. So use it as a guide. And at a, like everybody does here, when it backs up what you're saying, oh, PFF, if it doesn't, oh, PFF sucks.
100%. Real quick, baseball analytics have always made a ton of sense to me because it's the numbers, and the numbers exist within themselves.
And it's one-on-one.
And it's one-on-one, and the sport lends itself to that.
Lot less variables.
Lot less variables. Meanwhile, in football, you have these analytic numbers that are created by people who are using their eyes and are subjective, and it's not cut and dry. Like, what is a PFF grade? It actually comes from a human, whereas what is weighted on base average in Major League Baseball? It's a mere calculation.
Right. Well, those people, sorry.
Go ahead.
Those people making those calculations too, and I'm talking more about football, they also aren't as informed as you would like them to be. Like, right. I don't know if I'm working for PFF, I don't know what a defender's specific responsibility
Correct.
Is on that play. I don't know what the scheme is. I know if I'm a pitcher and I'm throwing a slider to a hitter, I know if he hits it or not.
Right.
It
right.
doesn't matter. Like, you're trying to throw it so it's not hit. And I have a problem with the quarterback side of this because, like, what was the line that we plucked from the Rodgers thing in week one? It was like throwing into difficult areas or something.
Big time throw percentage.
You almost get more points or a better rating when you do that more. But if I'm a quarterback, if I'm an offensive coordinator, better yet, I want my quarterback putting my team in a play in a situation where I don't have to throw into traffic. That's
yes,
the point.
Exactly.
So you almost get dinged if you move your guys into a better position.
What was so incredible about Tom Brady is he took the easy throws. He would take a 13-play drive, and it would be 5 yards to Wes Welker, 5 yards to Amendola, and they weren't tough throws. So there has to be something said about that, like understanding and knowing where to go. And, hey, if that's the soft spot of the defense, excuse me, I'm going to hit that. And it doesn't have to be a big-time throw. So that's where I say analytics in this sport should be a complement to what you're doing and not the main focus because it's just too many variables and too subjective.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm not like 100% out on PFF because the theory behind some of the things does make sense to me. Like Rodgers rolling to his right and throwing the balls like 65 yards in the air to a streaking Pat Freiermuth on time and on the money. Pat doesn't catch that ball. It doesn't count in the statistics. And a lot of people might forget about it. They're going to give him credit
right.
for that. And they probably should because that's a play that he made. It's mm-hmm. not his fault that his player didn't come down with it. Same way it's not his fault that he throws an interception in the end zone right. because Calvin Austin's working off script and it probably actually would have been a touchdown to Pat Freiermuth. So with all that long-windedness and with all that being said, how do you feel like Rodgers played on Sunday? Because for me, when we're mounting the list of things wrong with this team, I think you have to go pretty far before you get to Rodgers' performance against Seattle.
Yes. You're in the basement digging through the crates if you're looking at
You're like Andy Dufresne yes. in Shawshank.
Yes. Yeah. He is the least of the worries. The worry I have about Aaron Rodgers is with the offensive line and him getting hit and having to run around, how long can he sustain the level of play that he is now at the age he is? That's where I'm worried.
Remember Ben's final year, and that was, and God rest his soul, Dwayne Haskins, and he played, and everyone was going, oh man, he might be the heir apparent to Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben comes in that preseason, and you saw what Ben could do. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay, that's what it really looks like for a franchise quarterback. But by midway through the year, he had totally deteriorated. He couldn't throw the ball the same way anymore. I'm worried about that with Rodgers, too. Now, I think Rodgers' arm has always been better, not to take anything away from Ben. Rodgers is probably one of one. But what he displayed on that throw was he could move better than he did week one. And he said he was a little sore. And that arm, for now, still great. But you're right. How many hits can he take?
Right.
I mean, that happened to me being at the stadium, Doug, maybe you as well. Like, watching Rodgers take those hits, I'm like...
Every time.
Like, kind of holding your breath.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about week two in a season where he's on pace to take 60 sacks.
Yep.
This offensive line play has to be better. I don't care who you are, you're not going to hold up to that type of beating.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero problem if you tell me Aaron Rodgers has his health and has time to throw the ball. He clearly has the talent and ability, and he knows what he's doing mentally. I question whether this offensive line can do it. I'm not seeing evidence.
And you're giving absolutely – sorry, Doug. The opposition does not have to take the Steelers' running game seriously at all either. So you don't even have the ability to keep them honest. They're just teeing off on Rodgers.
Just teeing off. This is the football geek in me. One of the plays that – people probably don't even remember that I tip my hat and say this is why he gives mad respect to football and the history of it. The ball fake. How beautiful was that? That was to me, that's Mona Lisa.
That's a teaching moment for every young quarterback in the country
that
right now.
That was just quintessential football right there. And you just don't see it anymore. And for him to give a nod to all the quarterbacks in football history by perfecting that and showing it, I give it to Arthur Smith and to Aaron Rodgers because that was just a thing of beauty to me.
Things that PFF does not count, stuff like that.
Yes.
They don't count Rodgers getting out of bad plays and into good plays. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, I'm sure the cadence and stuff like that doesn't come into play, and we saw that affect a couple of plays on Sunday. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the curious case of Mike Tomlin's kickoff return men over the years and what maybe he should be looking for now. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. One final segment, Jason Mackey, thank you for joining today. You are a trooper. You've been on the entire time, and your computer's making sounds. You almost went unblemished. I say something to you, now you blow the no-hitters, how that went. We had a perfect game going, you screwed the whole thing.
I've never seen one, so that's fitting. Never covered one.
I got to tell you something.
It's a running gag with pirate stuff. Like, if I'm there, it ain't happening.
Well, it's really hard to be there for one because they're fairly rare. That's a difficult thing to
Being
see.
Being facetious?
No, they're rare.
And they ain't that rare.
No
hitters. Look at the Pirates. Lucas Giolito. That was Mike Persak's first ever road trip.
Oh, you know what, Jason? I'm putting it through my own prism of, like, I go to, like, 12 Pirate games a year, not through you go to every one of them.
No. I'd do 140 baseball games. They've had several no-hitters since I moved on the beat.
Yeah.
I never saw one. I was doing something else. Anyway.
I kind of thought Skeens would throw one this year. Oh. He's been a massive disappointment, that Skeens.
I stayed up late now. Would you have pulled Ohtani on his no-hitter after five? They ended up losing the game, getting crushed, but he had a no-hitter through five.
Probably.
You ready for this? You ready for this nuance? No-hitter through five, I pull him. Perfect game through five, I don't. Perfect game is much more rare.
Yeah.
What was the pitch count?
I don't remember that.
I
don't think it was super high, but...
No, he's too important to my franchise long term.
But
there's too much money tied up.
Perfect game, though. Yeah. No
hitter.
But
you know what?
But he's just coming off an arm injury.
Yeah, and you know what happened? He didn't pitch last year. They won the World Series. So who cares? Go out there, chase history. You blow your arm out. Guess what? You'll still hit 50 bombs and steal 60 bases for us, and we'll win the World Series.
Let me be your bookie.
Doug, Mike Tomlin has... historically, more often than not really played dynamic kickoff return guys. Like Najee Davenport comes to mind. There's a long list. Now, there's some exceptions in there, too. But shouldn't that change now with the way the kickoff rules are?
I think hopefully he's getting the point, because first of all, the main reason for the change in the kickoff is because it used to be a non-entity.
Right.
Play. It was a waste play. So let's get every play where people are sitting in their seats and they're not going to use the bathroom or going to get something to eat. I believe, and I think everybody can say, they've accomplished that goal. But when you first look at it and when it was first introduced, it really looks like an outside or inside zone play. So that's why I think he put Caleb Johnson
and
guys like that, where it's like, okay, get guys that understand blocking angles and can pick a hole and get upfield. And they're not looking to have a guy that can take it all the way. But if he gets 10 to 15, maybe 20 yards, now you're at the 40, 35, 40. That changes the percentage chance of you scoring. I don't have the stats on me, but when I was in the XFL and we were working on this, on the 20-yard line, it was like maybe 17% chance you score. You take it to the 35, that increases it up to like 29 to 32% chance to score. So that was his thinking, I think. Now that he understands that these things can take it to the house and change games, maybe he's starting to say we need to put some more speed back there, somebody a lot more dynamic.
Give me a little Lou Nichols.
Isn't that concerning? Like, this is supposed to be a scheme that he understands and can run well.
Right.
And I wouldn't say he's been dynamic back there.
No, not at all.
He did not look good. He did not look good prior to the all-time, hasn't happened in 45-year gaffe.
Yeah.
We have run out of time, gentlemen. Good show. No, it's great. Doug, thank you. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Jason, this has been a pleasure.
Yes, I've enjoyed this last night.
Congratulations on the backyard.
Oh, I haven't come down yet.
I wouldn't either.
I won't come down until Kansas comes down with their wrath on West Virginia by approximately 9 p.m. on Saturday night. We'll hand things over to Joe Starkey. Thanks to Bowser here in Monroeville, Studio B, our home away from home, for housing us and giving us the hospitality today. That was good English by me, Jason. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Beautiful day today, high of 77, low of 59, partly cloudy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.